This conference is being recorded.
Okay, and I've heard a couple more people have joined us in the last minute. We're going to wait one more minute, and we'll get started with our call today. Just want to say thanks, everyone, for being here. And for those of you who are here early, that's great. My commitment is I'm going to make the next hour definitely worth your time in spending it with me today. So we're going to go one more minute, and then we'll get started with the call. Okay, I'm at 1 o'clock. We're going to get started, and before we really get started with the program, I want to say thanks to those of you who are here. I've got a real mix of people from not only the Madison area, which is where I'm based, but throughout the United States, thanks to social media and Facebook that I got the word out about the seminar. So I appreciate all of you who are here today. Probably going to hear some beeping in of some other folks that will be joining us, but I do want to get started to keep us all on time. So. The topic today is Agents That Breathe Success, Mind Strategies of Top Performers, and it's going to be a great discussion, so I'm thrilled that you're here. Before we get started, though, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping. So I want this to be an interactive teleseminar, but when you're not asking a question, I'm going to ask that you mute your phone. And you can do this in one of two ways. If on the phone that you're on today you have a mute button, you can always hit that, and that'll mute you out. Or with this system, you can press *6 on your keypad, and that will mute you or unmute you if you're muted at any point in time. So I'm going to ask the point is unmute yourself one of the two ways. So *6 will mute you, or you can hit the mute button on your phone. All right, sounds like we've got everyone muted now. Just a reminder, don't put us on hold during this call, as many of your offices have beautiful hold music, but that the rest of us probably aren't necessarily wanting to listen to. So that's the last bit of ground rules for today. So one last thing, the call is being recorded, and the recording will be posted on my website before the end of the day today. If you've got a pen and paper handy, you might want to write this down. It's www.framecoaching.com. So www.framecoaching.com. All right, as we start today, I thought it might be best to give everyone a little bit of history. You know, first, what makes me capable of running a call like this? Since I entered the real estate business in 1989, I quickly learned that success in my business had as much to do with how I was thinking as it did with the daily actions and tools I used in my business. So I constantly sought out trainers and training techniques from Mike Ferry's organization for real estate sales to the work of Tony Robbins and that of the Landmark Forum and its curriculum for living. When I joined Keller Williams Realty in 2003, I became a broker and operating principal for that company, and I got to see then how highly successful real estate agents work and think at a much different level. I quickly realized that real estate was an equal opportunity, unequal earnings business. So let me repeat that. Real estate is an equal opportunity, unequal earnings business. So what do I mean by this? Well, we all get licensed, and yet what makes the difference for most of us from that point forward, from being a mediocre sales agent to being a superstar or mega agent? In some cases, there were external factors, but for those that made it long-term, it had most to do with how they think. Seeing this, I began to seek out tools and techniques to not only help me become the best I could be, but also be able to share that with others. Today, I'm going to cover 5 topics that I believe top performers use from that thinking strategy standpoint. So the first one is gratitude, and I want to spend a little bit of time talking about those strategies that work for people. This concept of gratitude is one you might find challenging in today's economy and current state of the real estate market. That is, you must continuously connect to the source through gratitude. Now, when I speak of the source, I'm referencing the belief that you have in some form of a higher power. Whether you consider that God, Buddha, or Jesus, it's just that belief that there is something or someone greater than us responsible for what we choose to do in our daily lives. So that being said, the idea of gratitude to the source is a powerful one. Now, if I've lost anyone on this discussion of the source, don't worry. I'll try to simplify my thoughts on this. So here's my basis. It comes back to the concept that psychologists have found through years of research and study that people who express gratitude on a regular basis experience higher levels of life satisfaction and happiness. So let me repeat that. Psychologists have found through the years of research and study that people who express gratitude on a regular basis experience higher levels of satisfaction and happiness. So wouldn't that be enough alone? Athletes call that being in the zone. Psychologists refer to it as a state of flow. It's the process of letting go and mentally detaching from the end result of any task. And in doing so, it just happens. While we're all able to experience this phenomenon from time to time, top achievers to access this much more often because they're aware of the triggers that create the mental state needed to awaken this ability to, quote, get into the zone. So when you're in a sincere state of gratitude, your energy or vibrational resonance is one of acceptance and harmony. You resonate and as a result project a much higher vibrational frequency, which is exactly what attracts to you the events, the conditions, and the circumstances that you desire. So far, have I lost anybody as I talk about that concept of being in a constant state of gratitude? And if you've muted yourself with star 6, you can unmute with star 6 and ask the question. Great. So let me go a little bit deeper with that then to get a little more clarity on that. And I'm going to give you an analogy. So if you think of yourself as a giant magnet, whatever you are feeling, whether it be love, fear, anger, happiness, joy, gratitude, resistance, etc., you are in essence creating a magnetic force that attracts and draws you to events, conditions, and circumstances which are in direct correlation to what you're feeling. So here's the idea. Fear of something creates a magnetic force that will attract more of what you fear. Expressing gratitude for any situation projects a magnetic force that draws you to more of what you're expressing gratitude for. So it's that idea of that what you focus on grows. If I'm fearful, I'm going to attract more of that to me. If I'm demonstrating gratitude, there's more of that. So in other words, gratitude puts you in a harmonious vibrational resonance which attracts additional energies. So at any time that you're not expressing gratitude for an outcome, you're in essence resisting the outcome which places your focus on not wanting that outcome. So when this happens, what are your thoughts and emotions fixated on? What you don't want. So do you get that? So when I focus on those things I don't want, that's what I'm going to start attracting. That focus of not wanting creates a magnetic force which only serves to draw you more of what that of which you're not wanting or resisting. All right, so how do you train yourself to be a magnet for those things you want in your life? Well, I started an exercise last year that's creating incredible results for me, and you may want to write this down. Each day, three times a day, I pull out a leather-bound journal I carry with me and write down the 10 things I'm grateful for at that very moment. For some of you, that may sound really simple, and it can be. But really what I've discovered is that feeling becomes my gratitude list that helps me create that tool for tapping the source, attracting those things I say I want in my life. So let's take a moment and try this. If you've all got a sheet of paper, grab that and something to write with. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of homework right at this moment. So I'm going to ask you to take 2 minutes and jot down the 10 things you are most grateful for in this moment. So write down the 10 things you're most grateful for in this moment. 2 minutes. So ready? Let's go. All right, this is a one-minute warning. Do you 10 items, 10 things on your gratitude list you're most grateful for at this moment. Second warning. And time. So, how did that feel for you? Was it difficult to come up with 10 items or easy? So, did you find it free-flowing or a struggle? Either way, you can learn from this. The one thing to remember, there is no right or wrong. There just is. It's your gratitude list. So, at this point, I'm going to open up the line, and is there anyone who has anything they want to share about the experience of creating their 10-item gratitude list at this moment?
Well, it started out hard, but it got easier.
So it started off hard and it got easier. And why do you think that happened?
Because you start thinking in the idea of what you define grateful for yourself.
So was it? So when you say that, the idea was you weren't quite sure what grateful meant to you when you started, and you got clearer as you created the list. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Cool. Okay. Great. Anyone else have an experience with that they want to share?
Quiet group.
Okay. A quiet group, isn't it? So here's the thing I just want to share with you all. I'm gonna share with you what I just wrote down. And again, this becomes kind of free flowing. But what I've found, and again, the exercise is 3 times a day. Just pick a spot, write down 10 things you're grateful for in that moment. So here were mine: a great night's sleep, cool hotel rooms to stay in, coffee in the morning, people who want to see something succeed, coaching programs, cheaper gas, my salaries, great friends, my family, talk radio, Facebook, good friends in my industry, my cat Scudder, my coaching ability, chocolate chip cookie dough, my bed and my sheets. Those are the things that I was grateful for at this moment. And again, that's an exercise that I do 3 times a day, and it's amazing what that's doing as far as what it's attracting in my life. Any questions on the gratitude list?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, great. Number 2 in the points that we're going to cover today is that top performers are ferociously cooperative. Let me back up and say that again. So top performers are ferociously cooperative. What I mean by that is the happiest top performers are the most cooperative people in the world. They know that it takes a team to achieve anything worthwhile. So my question to you, is there a need for this attitude in today's market? I would say absolutely. I can see this in what it currently takes to get from an accepted offer on a real estate deal to successful closing. All parts of the team must work together, from the cooperating agent to the lender to the appraisal, and its challenges to the title company. If there's ever been a need for ferocious cooperation, as I'll call it, it's right now. So here may be another way to think about that. Number 1, being extremely cooperative makes you more valuable to the team. Number 2, ferocious cooperation shows dedication and fearlessness. So you're not coming to it from what you have to lose, you're coming to it from what you can contribute. Number 3, ferocious cooperation is rare, and it makes you even more valuable to your client and customers, as well as to your company. The last point is that ferocious cooperation is always rewarded in one way or another. So you may not see the reward at that very moment, but I believe that there is such a thing as good karma, and if I'm ferociously cooperative, the good things I do in working in cooperation will come back to repay me many times over. So my question is, for those of us in the real estate industry, why doesn't this happen at a higher level? My belief on that is that ego quite often gets in the way. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I've long held the belief that the word ego stands is an acronym simply for the words edging God out, E-G-O. Let's clarify the difference on that. Egotists are essentially insecure people who are attempting to cover up their own suspicion that they are not quite as good as other people by pretending that they are more important. People with very high levels of self-esteem don't need to determine their self-worth by comparing themselves either publicly or in their own minds with others. Does that make sense? And here's the thing that I look at from an ego standpoint in this industry. My days get much more enjoyable when the ego is checked out for that day. I'm not worried about what someone's thinking about, what I'm doing, how I look, what I'm saying. I'm simply doing what I do every day, and I truly am functioning in that zone we talked about earlier under point number one. Third point for today is that top performers spend their time working on becoming and being versus acquiring and possessing. So top performers spend their time working on being and becoming versus acquiring and possessing. So moving away from the dialogue and ego comes the belief that another of the mind strategies of top performers is true happiness can't be directly pursued, but it is a byproduct of living a life and life to its fullest. It's the ultimate outcome of this game of life. I'd suggest that this is such a simple concept that most of us tend to miss it. It's not a condition, it's a decision. I can wake up tomorrow and decide that tomorrow will be a great day and that I'll be happy with my outcomes or not. Either way, I'll be right. I have control of my thinking at all points in time, and that control ultimately dictates my happiness. So one other piece of this puzzle is that happiness is a byproduct of acting in a manner that is congruent with your value system. So until you've identified what this value system is, it might be challenging to maintain your happiness level for any period of time. So the question I've got is, how do I identify my value system? So here's one way to look at it. Values are about how we have learned to think things ought to be or how people ought to behave, especially in terms of qualities such as honesty, integrity, and openness. So the exercise I would have for you, and we're not going to spend time on this today because time is short, but that's a conversation I'm going to ask you to have with yourself quietly with pen and paper. Sit down and start identifying what are those things you value. And again, a lot of times your values are about how you've learned to think things ought to be, or how people ought to behave, especially in terms of qualities such as honesty, integrity, and openness. All right, number four, as far as the points of top performers are incredible at seizing opportunity. Why I've got this in the list today is that one of the most frustrating conversations I've had with many real estate agents this past 18 months or so is that about this new market we're in. So frustrating to me isn't that the market has changed. I'm a believer that the market is the market is the market. It has and will always need to be recognized that the market is simply that. What is frustrating is hearing an agent state, quote, my plan is to wait this out. When the market comes back to what it was, then I'll get into action. So when I hear that, and I've heard that a lot, my reply to that agent is, great, do you have 3 years of income in reserves? You see that? That may be the timeline before we come back to any sense of what we would consider a normal market. Actually, I believe we'll never see the markets of the early 2000s again. That was a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-career for many of us. So those were an anomaly. And if you were lucky enough to be working in that market, good for you. I hope you socked away as much money that you earned in that period of time. You see, many of us believe someone else will show up to save the day. So that idea that top performers are all about seizing opportunity is that they're not waiting for someone to ride in on their white horse and save them. To be a top performer, you must not view opportunity as something to wait for, but something you must create yourself. Top performers see this market as a game, and they must play the game now while there's still time left on the clock. If they fail at one part of the game, they simply move on to a new game. They know they must keep playing until they win. So I want to ask you a few questions. So grab that piece of paper and pen again, and I want you to write down the following questions, answers to the following questions. So the first question I'm going to ask you give some thought to your answers. Number one, if you'd have seized more opportunity in this new market, what would those new opportunities be? So if you would have seized more opportunities in this new market, what would they be? So let's take a minute and write down a few ideas. Let's spend 30 more seconds. If you'd have seized more opportunities in this market, what would they be? All right, and time. So here's my second question. Looking back at that list you just created for yourself, if you'd have done those items you wrote down, would you be further ahead today? And the third question is, what's the worst thing that can happen if you take more risks and seize more opportunity? What's the worst that could happen? So going back and looking at your list for question number one, here's my question, what's stopping you? You see, my commitment to everyone I have the opportunity to coach is that they don't live their lives small. They are risk takers. They love that adrenaline rush of trying something new and then seeing great results. They don't simply come to the end of their lives only to arrive, quote unquote, safely at death. That makes sense. I love that statement. So the folks I love to work with don't simply come to the end of their lives only to arrive safely at death. So if you're waiting for your ship to come in, you may have a long wait. This is our market. Seize those opportunities. Top performers do, and they excel in markets like this. So the fifth point is the question of whether or not you're a learning machine. For most of us, learning means memorizing facts, figures, key dates, and theorems. That's how we were all taught in school. Now, if you were like me, learning in my college days was a late-night cram session to fill my head with those things I needed to have in there at that moment of taking that exam, only then to have it purged shortly thereafter. And my question is, how far does that take us? But one of the quotes I love from speaker Jim Rohn is such. He says, quote, "Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune." So again, I'll repeat that quote. Formal education will make you a living. Self-education will make you a fortune. So top performers know this to be true and invest heavily in books, CD iPod downloads, and the like on everything from personal development to business, sales, marketing, and management. Top performers read and study trade publications and become world-renowned experts on their topics. So here's a stat I thought I'd like to throw into this mix when we talk about top performers being in continuous learning. Did you know that the top 5% of income earners in the United States invest nearly $10,000 annually on books and other learning tools? They attend seminars, workshops, and retreats. They don't see this as a waste of time or money, but an investment in their future. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, that's all well and good because they have the money to do this. Or when I have the money, I'll start investing in my learning. And I'd like to challenge you today to change that way of thinking and to find ways this very day to stop that cycle. You see, I believe only when you start investing in your learning will your financial situation improve. So again, with that pen and paper in front of you, I want you to jot down three learning opportunities you'd like to invest in before the end of this year. could be anything from real estate designations like the CRB, the CRS, or GRI, or personal development such as attending a motivational guru seminar or financial knowledge workshop. You know, it really doesn't matter which direction you choose. The key is that you make a commitment between now and the end of the year. So let's take a minute and let's write down those three things you want to commit to improve your learning for the balance of 2009. Everyone get a chance to put three ideas down?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, we're going to go on to the last point then for today, and that's that top performers know that salespeople drive all business. Top performers know that salespeople drive all business. Now, this is my final thought. Did you know that in the U.S. today there are 15 million salespeople? 15 million. Knowing this, what baffles me is why then do the masses look down at salespeople as con artists and smooth talkers? Top performers, on the other hand, see the huge value salespeople play in our lives and in the economy, and they embrace and admire these people. They see them as a driving force behind our global economy. They are the star athletes of the business world. So think about it. Without salespeople, there'd be no need for production, manufacturing, research, development, or management. Sales is truly the driving force behind all of this. So in my mind, there are only two kinds of jobs in this world, those of salespeople, and everyone else is in sales support. So the average salesperson, here's another stat you might find interesting, keeps 33 people employed in some form or another based on their production each year. So can you think of another profession that comes even close to this? Now, knowing this, why do we try to hide the fact that we're salespeople? We get creative in our job titles, like stating on our business cards real estate consultant or real estate advisor versus simply stating real estate salesperson or sales associate. So my question is, are we ashamed of what we do? If your answer to this question is yes, I'd like to challenge you to think a little bit deeper on this. You see, I believe I owe it to a potential buyer or seller to work with me in helping them with their real estate needs. Only when they do this can I guarantee they'll have a great sales experience versus a lousy one. So we can all think of those real estate horror stories our friends and acquaintances love to regale upon us at cocktail parties and gatherings. So think about that, because I know all of us in the industry have had those experiences. In my early years in real estate, I used to cringe at the thought of having to have that conversation in the social setting. Today, I look at it just the opposite. I actually look forward to that conversation. So what makes the difference? I got over the fact that I was simply a salesperson and truly believe in my heart of hearts that I can deliver a great sales experience to everyone who chooses to work with me, and that I owe it to them to make that known. Let me repeat that. I believe in my heart of hearts that I can deliver a great sales experience to everyone who chooses to work with me, and that I owe it to them to make that known. So how do I accomplish this? First, by being empathetic when I hear that horror story. Then I redirect that conversation to how I would have handled the situation. And finally, by asking for help from the person I'm visiting with. So I empathize, I redirect, and then I ask for help. So what kind of help? Simply asking that before they have to hear another horror story from a friend, a relative, or a coworker, have them refer their friends, relatives, and coworkers to me and my team so I can be certain that we can give them a great sales experience. We're service-driven salespeople. We love the challenges of helping a client or customer navigate the real estate sales process and in making it a great one. As I was putting this program together, this point reminded me of a story of an experience I had a few years ago. I was out at dinner one night, and the wife of our local newspaper editor was sitting across the table from me. And she asked, once she found out I was in real estate, what my best real estate sales story was. And my reply to her, and I think it was much to her surprise, was anytime we get to the closing table and my client shakes my hand and says, "That was easy." My best sales experience in real estate is when we get to the closing table, the client shakes my hand and says, "That was easy." I went on to say that my job is to be certain that we help avoid the issues and pitfalls that create those nightmare stories. Now, in reality, can we always do this? Not at all. But we can handle them in a professional manner such that our client knows what's going on, but we try to remove them from the stress of that situation. So if you struggle with the concept of being a salesperson, I'd like to ask you to consider the following questions. The first three I want you to think about. So do you believe that selling is talking people into buying things? Do you believe that selling or that salespeople are pushy? And do you believe that salespeople only care about making the sale and earning their commission? Or do you believe that sales means helping people do what they love to do, and that's to buy products and services that improve the quality of their lives? Number two, that selling is transferring your belief in a product or service to the prospective customer. And three, selling means educating the buyer about the benefits of the product or service. Bottom line, you are a salesperson. Be proud of that and make a commitment today to deliver the highest level of service to everyone you choose to work with. So that's my 6 points for today. If you'd like some of any of what I've covered, I'd love the chance to work with you further. So what I want to do is invite you to consider enrolling in my next round of Frame of Mind coaching. So here's my sales pitch. This program that I've been working with is 10 empowering weeks of group coaching with me, an explicitly trained Frame of Mind coach. Each week, you'll participate in a one-hour group conference call that fully explores one key aspect of your personal and business development. Each call focuses on a targeted subject with a clearly articulated theme, and it's intended to work as part of a precise progression of thought development over the period of 10 full weeks. The six key points that I talked about today are part of that process itself. So here's what's included. You get a private orientation call with me. Daily, you're going to be guided in your journaling with our groundbreaking new online journaling program. I read your journals and make comments that will prod, challenge, entice, support, and engage you to grow and make the kind of changes you're looking for. We do this in groups of up to 10 people, so you get a chance to connect with the other group members who are all interested in working on their frame of mind to achieve success in their lives and fulfill their dreams and goals. And then you're part of an infrastructure that will hold up for you well beyond the 70 days of the group coaching. This does continue beyond the 10 weeks. So I just want to share with you a quote I got from one of my past clients. And this would be from Charity Gent. Some of you may know her. She's our productivity coach for Keller Williams in Madison. And here's what she said. My experience with Darren and Frame of Mind coaching was phenomenal. I will always look back at these past 10 weeks as some of the most provocative and inspiring of my entire life. Never before have I carved out space in my daily schedule for written reflection, meditation, and thinking. Doing so has added such a richness to my life. I don't live on autopilot anymore. Everything I do, every action I take, every person I spend time with, and to some degree every thought I have is much more carefully chosen than ever before in my life. It's so empowering and it feels so good. I highly, highly recommend this to anyone who is committed to the idea of living a more fulfilling life. It's not always an easy journey, but it's always a very worthwhile one. So I want to take a moment and just speak a little bit about this guided journaling that we're talking about as part of the program. The basic premise and underlying all this is that when you focus on something you want, it grows. So that goes back to my point number one with regard to gratitude. So the journaling that we ask you to do creates the following. It helps you unload. It gets those things that are in your head that we may keep you awake at night out of your head and into the world, in our world, into the online journaling. It helps you tune in and allows you to redirect your thoughts. It makes it clear what you feel you should be doing on whatever topic might be challenging you. Number three, it uncovers beliefs that might be limiting your great success. Many on the call know of a phrase we use quite often that says, is that a limiting belief? In the guided journaling, I start seeing patterns in what you're writing about. We start uncovering what those limiting beliefs may be. And quite often, those are beliefs that you didn't even know you held. Fourth thing it does, it allows me to probe and ask questions. We dig much deeper and we get more clarity on what it is you truly say you want. Fifth thing, it allows you to trade up in both your thoughts and your actions. One of the things about this program that I really found fulfilling is that instead of asking you to make quantum leaps in what you wanted to change in your life, and I'll use an example. If I'm struggling financially and I do an affirmation every morning, and my affirmation is, you're a millionaire, you're a millionaire, you're a millionaire, you're a millionaire. What we found is that as much as I can state that, my subconscious, which I have no control of, says in the back of my head, who are you trying to kid? Who are you trying to kid? Who are you trying to kid? So it's counterproductive. In our journaling and in the coaching program, we're going to ask you to trade up to a slightly better thought. So that thought from I'm struggling with my financials to today I'm generating more income. Now, more isn't $1 million. More might be this month it's going to be $5,000. And we trade up those thoughts, and over time you start layering it to the point where you get to that level where you can make statements like those quantum leap type of results that you want in your life. It also allows you to design or create a new plan. So we get clear in this that what the plan you want, what your actions are towards that may not be congruent with what you say you want. We also help you exercise, we actually develop an exercise in generating a statement of gratitude, and we started that a little bit today. Like I said, I started that last year. It's a daily activity for me, and it's making huge results in my life. And finally, the online journaling allows you to capture that story that's inside of you. It really becomes your legacy, and it's not really a story of what is, but what you want it to be. That may seem a little out there for you. That's part of the 10-week program, and it's an amazing, amazing piece of it. So now that I've laid that out, here's a quote I heard a number of years ago that to this day still haunts me. And that quote is, don't die with your music still inside you. Don't die with your music still inside you. All of us have been given certain gifts. We have abilities. Many of us choose to play safe and not take those risks and go after those things that we want in our life so that music stays inside us. The other quote I love came from Irma Bombeck. Some of you maybe remember who she was, but she said, when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have to not have a single bit of talent left, and I could say, I used everything you gave me. So when I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left, and I could say, I used everything you gave me. So, here's my invitation to enroll. Here's the offer. Beginning August 10th, for 10 weeks, I'm putting together two groups of 10 people only for my next round of guided journaling and frame of mind coaching. To enroll in that, you have two options. One, you can visit my website, www.framecoaching.com, and print out the registration form and fax it back to me with the fax number on that form. Or you can email me before next Friday at dkittleson@gmail.com, so dkittleson at gmail, gmail.com, with your request to enroll, and I'll send you the form. And the cost for this program for the 10-week coaching and the 52 weeks of journaling is $750, and to make it easier, I do break it down into three billing payments of $250 each month, so there'd be a $250 payment for August, for September, and October. So here's my challenge. Do you have the life you love, or is there a chance I can help you make it even better? If so, are you willing to invest? So thanks for your time today. If there's any questions about anything we've covered, I'd be happy to answer those now. Remember, *6 will take you off mute. Questions?
Just a statement, Darren. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time, and I will definitely be in touch.
Is that Brian?
That's Brian Fendry, yes, sir.
I thought I recognized the voice. Okay, thanks for being with us today, Brian.
Thanks. I'm going to log off, but thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, anyone else? Just a reminder, the call is recorded, so if you ever want to go back and listen to anything I've covered today, and if you have any questions as you think about this, feel free to contact me. But with that being said, thanks so much for your time today. My goal is to do these once a month from a standpoint of a topic similar to this, and we'll move forward from there. So have a great day, everybody. Thank you.